Hello and welcome to the Carolina Snowflakes podcast, where two Southerners come to terms with their liberal snowflake tendencies. We're your hosts. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Jason. And this is episode 2 we are titling Blending In. So to catch up from our first podcast, we left the cliffhanger about our friend the three-legged man, I believe his name was, or that's what I called him.
The three-legged man.
The three-legged man. I read about him in a Guinness Book of World Records, I believe. And you were curious. You were very curious.
I had a lot of questions. Yeah. I wanted to know who this person was and how he functioned having three legs.
Yeah.
Specifically, we got caught up with the shoes. Like, how he bought shoes and how unfair it is because shoes only come in pairs.
That is true. That is how we got there.
Yeah.
I Googled it. In the sense that I looked at the Google Images tab.
Right. You just stopped at the photos.
I didn't actually
didn't go any further.
Read anything.
Right. Read words.
But I did look at pictures, and he did indeed have three legs.
He did. He did. Well, I went a little bit further.
Yeah.
I went to the Wikipedia.
She went on a deep dive.
I did. I did. I looked up this guy. So his name was Frank Lentini.
Lentini.
Lentini. He was born in 1889 in Italy.
He was Italian.
And he died in 1966 in Jackson, Tennessee.
66 in Tennessee?
Tennessee.
How did he end up in Tennessee from Italy?
I guess it was love. I don't know. He was married and divorced, and then he had a girlfriend until he died.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder. Well, yeah. I wonder a lot of things about that relationship.
Yeah.
He did have three legs, though, right?
He did. So Frank did indeed have three legs.
Okay.
But he actually had 4 feet.
How do you have 4 feet on three legs?
Yeah, so
that's
there's more. He had 3 legs, 4 feet, and 2 sets of genitals. Yeah.
Hold on. Which kinds of genitals? The same?
The
2 sets of the
same?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Was it intersex?
No.
Oh.
No. No.
Not intersex.
No. He... Oh. So Frank was what they call part of a parasitic twin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Parasitic twin.
Yeah. So like,
I've heard about that.
When you have twins and one absorbs the other in utero.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Frank basically ate his twin, but...
He didn't finish eating him.
Didn't finish
all
of them.
Just start poking out.
Yeah. So there's
that's really gross.
Yeah. So
weird.
Frank had his other foot, the fourth foot, which would have been his sibling's foot, is sticking out of his calf.
On which leg?
Would have the third?
Extra
one?
I think
it was the third leg.
Oh,
yeah.
So it was on that. So the extra leg is just all sorts of screwing.
Yeah. It's all sorts of messed up.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Could he put a shoe on it, or is it a deformed little foot?
It was too small. Picture of it.
He's still having the problem with shoes. Then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he puts a little booty on the.
He could.
It would be a
totally different size, and that adds a whole new caliber of problems.
Yeah,
in shoe shopping for Frank Lentini.
And I wonder if, being Italian, he still got his shoes from Italy instead of buying them here.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're known for shoes.
I have no idea.
Cobblers.
These are really good. We'll have to dive deeper.
I guess we're gonna have to keep you guys posted.
Frank will follow us
about this.
Yeah, so Frank left Italy, came to the States. Wound up joining Ringling Brothers.
Oh.
The circus.
The big boys.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
And traveled around with their sideshow ensemble and entertained masses. And that's how he made a living.
Wow.
Yeah. And
if you've got three legs, I don't know. I mean, he could be world champion three-legged
race
runner.
I feel like he's making the best of it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so he liked the U.S. enough to actually become a U.S. citizen when he turned 30.
Oh, when he was 30.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so he did a late in life, John Oliver type, become an American citizen later.
Well, it might
later.
Have taken a while. I don't know what...
I love America.
We don't know what the system was back then for becoming
they
a citizen.
They my three legs.
You know?
I still get my shoes from Italy.
So there was no form for him to go online and fill out.
He had to go to a special tailor, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to get weird three-legged pants.
Three-legged pants. He did also, one of his sideshow performances was to kick a football with his third leg.
With the extra leg.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Entertaining the crowd.
And that's what Charlie Brown had forgotten. If Charlie Brown would have had three legs, Lucy would have never screwed him over like she did.
I know. She would. No, definitely not.
He would have been immune to Lucy's antics.
Yes.
Charles Schulz is spinning in his grave.
He is.
Learning about Frank Lentini.
Right. If only he had known the joy Frank Lentini.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was a good follow-up. I mean, I hope everybody out there feels informed about Frank.
About Frank Lentini.
Yeah. And he did indeed have three legs.
He did.
I bet he had a hell of a time blending in.
Yeah.
And speaking of blending in, I mean, I, in my life, have moved around quite a bit. And you're a native daughter of these hills.
I'm incredibly local.
Yeah.
Yes.
In my experience moving around, I've learned that one of the first things you have to do to blend in is learn what the hell everybody calls everything.
like, what did he say?
Yeah, because a lot of times people don't call things by their logical names.
Right.
If you're from out of town. I remember living in Virginia, and they called the highway, they called it the I.
Just the letter I.
Just the I.
The I.
And yeah, we're taking the I. And what I? What does that mean? I'd never heard that before. I was like, you mean Interstate 26? No, the I. And they couldn't comprehend that it had another name.
Yeah, in Atlanta, the locals don't call Ponce de Leon Avenue Ponce de Leon Avenue. They just call it Ponce.
Just Ponce.
They say we got to go down Ponce.
Go down Ponce.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not from there, you might not understand what the hell they're talking about. That's something I've run into when I moved here. I got really into four-wheeling, I guess. I did a job where I had to ride a four-wheeler for work.
You literally had to ride a four-wheeler to do your job.
It was awesome. That was like one of the greatest
days
of my life.
And it was the best day of your life.
Yeah, I came home. I was like beaming. I was super stoked. I was like, four-wheeler.
Yeah, I came home from work and you were laying on the couch. And I said, hey, babe. And you were just laying there smiling like, four-wheeler. Four-wheeler.
Yeah, it was fun
as
hell.
I was like, what?
It was fun as hell. It was a good day. And I really wanted one. And so I saved up and I got myself one. And I started looking into where would I go to ride. And there's a little area that's maybe 45 minutes down the road from us that's called the Wayahutta ATV Trails.
Wayahutta ATV Trails.
Yeah, with I guess a native sort of spelling. Yeah, so around that area in the protected forest, there's the Wayahutta ATV Trails. And when I started, I would go to work and I would ask people that I knew, you know, were local boys like riding four-wheelers and dirt bikes and whatnots. And they had no idea when I would mention the Wayahutta ATV Trails.
Yeah, you're
they
like,
would look at
hey
me,
guys, have you ever been to the Wayahutta Trails?
Yeah, and they would look at me completely dead-eyed like, no idea what you're talking
about. What are you talking about?
And I was like, man, it's so weird. Like, there's these big trails and they got a lot of ratings online. It seemed like they were a big place, but nobody had heard of them. And then people were like, I haven't heard of that, but you should look up Worry Hut.
Worry Hut.
Worry Hut. Okay, let me look up Worry Hut. There's no Worry Hut. There's nothing to Google.
Google Worry Hut.
Worry Hut?
Like, how do you even spell that? Worry Hut.
Turns out, it's the same place.
It's the same place.
They just don't say Wayahutta ATV Trails.
The locals don't call it Wayahutta. They call it Worry Hut.
I had no idea. This blew my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, it really did, because I had multiple miscommunications with people over this.
Yeah.
Because I was not blending in as it was. I was sticking out like a sore thumb.
Yes.
But, you know, you don't always mind sticking out, but when you move somewhere and you want to be part of the community, you do want to blend in.
You do, but here's the thing. I'm from the area, and even I didn't know that it was called Worry Hut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's super local, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe it's specific to people who ride dirt bikes and big motorized vehicles.
No, because even friends of ours knew it was Worry Hut.
That's
and
true.
They don't partake That's in true. ATV riding. I just somehow missed that memo.
Missed the memo where they told all the locals that we're going to call this Worry Hut.
So in order to go to Worry Hut, you had to procure a truck.
Yeah.
To haul the ATV.
Yeah, actually, we could tell that story because I did not have a truck at the time, so I bought one.
Yeah, which is more blending in.
Mm-hmm.
Because here in the South and Western North Carolina, it behooves you to own a pickup truck anyway.
It certainly does, if you want to get respect.
Yeah, you can't hurt.
Yeah. They respect big tires and whatnot.
Plus, it was, you know, it was necessary if you were going to haul the four-wheeler to the trails.
Yeah, so I found a guy was selling a truck. It was some old farmer. It was a 1990 Ford F-150.
Mm-hmm.
Big old awesome truck.
Right.
We bought it from this old farmer. It wasn't very modified. He hadn't done a lot to it. He just sort of used it for farm work.
He did put in some DIY cup holders.
Yeah.
They're, on the door.
You can see he screwed them right into the door.
Yeah, he did.
That was nice. They're not wooden, but they are screwed directly into the door.
They're
the plastic.
Yeah, they're plastic.
Yeah. And he also decided to apply a sticker to the tailgate.
Yes.
A lone solitary sticker.
So the truck came with one bumper sticker.
In
the middle of the tailgate.
And the sticker reads, NRA, stand and fight.
Yes.
not like their new slogans. NRA.
It is an OG, original.
Yeah, it's from back when they were just like, hey, buddy, kill them if they come near you, boy. It's from those NRA days.
Like the old school NRA days.
And we had this long conversation. We had to have a conversation about whether or not we were going to...
We did. We sat down and talked about, should we leave that bumper sticker on the back of the truck or not?
Yeah.
Because I think our first instinct was to take it off.
Right. And just
then we paused and we're like, well, wait.
For the people who might not know, the reason we might want to take it off is because the NRA, especially as of recently, funnels a lot of money into... what we call the other side of our political spectrum.
Yeah,
maybe.
Ideologies that we do not support.
Right, and a lot of things that don't have anything to do with guns. I don't think either of us really have a problem with the guns.
Well, neither of us are NRA members.
No, we're definitely
not
members.
And we're not super, you know, gung-ho, shoot-em-up gun people anyway.
Right.
Plus then the financial side of the NRA, we don't support.
That's
so
pretty much the main focus for me is the financial thing. Like the money's going to Donald Trump. They take your money that you think you're given for gun rights or whatever, and they give it to Ted Cruz to deport Mexicans. Or
whatever he does.
You know.
Zodiac killer.
Yeah. to buy new weapons for Zodiac killing.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to fund that. So I don't mind guns, but that's the reason why we might decide we wouldn't like the sticker.
Right, but we talked about it, and we were like, you know, blending in.
Yeah, we need to blend.
It matters.
Yeah. And
honestly, if you're going to be driving this old pickup truck.
Mm-hmm, beat up truck.
Hauling your four-wheeler.
Yeah.
You know, why not look like you belong?
Yeah. And what we've noticed is that we get zero road rage in that truck.
Because if we're in the truck and it doesn't matter, like, it doesn't matter if we're going super slow or just driving like a nuisance, we get no road rage. And I assume that other folks driving assume that we are heavily armed.
Yes. They can't see the gun rack, but they know it's there.
They're like, those people are nuts.
Yeah, I get a lot of nods from guys with long beards.
Oh, well, that's because they just love your truck.
Yeah, and they're, oh man, yeah, nice.
Yeah, anytime you take it to the gas station,
oh yes,
you have like four or five guys are like, man, I like that truck.
Uh-huh. Let me know if you ever want to sell it. People love it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And the sticker certainly doesn't help.
Yeah, no, it doesn't hurt, you mean.
Oh yeah, it doesn't hurt.
Right.
Yes. I said doesn't help. That
stupid. The sticker certainly doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. No, it makes them feel like I'm one of them.
Yeah, you blend in.
And like we could have, we talked about maybe covering up with some liberal bullshit. Like a
coexist bumper sticker.
Yeah, one of those horrible coexist with all the different symbol. Oh, I hate that bumper
vegan
sticker. Yeah, I get my meat local.
Buy local, y'all.
Yeah, so we debated on that and we decided, we're going to leave the sticker. And it's actually worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
It worked out really well in various situations we've been in. In fact.
Yeah. Well, was it your first time out there or the second time out there?
The
event.
That might have been the second or third time I was out there. And let's just say I rode poorly.
Rode poorly.
I made a decision that wasn't so great.
Not the best ride of your life.
And the four-wheeler kind of went over a cliff, sort of like a 15, 20-foot drop.
That's not a cliff.
Yeah.
That's the side of a mountain.
Yeah, yeah. And I kind of jumped off of it and let it go. And I fell down the cliff, but landed sort of somehow on my back.
You landed on a tree.
Yeah, on a tree that kind of saved my fall. Mm-hmm. And the four-wheeler tumbled and rolled. over and over and over again and got itself sort of wedged in between two trees.
Yeah.
Like in a way that if you looked at the picture, you would think there's no way that that four-wheeler could get in between those two trees. Like they had to have grown
through the four-wheeler. You know what? You're right. It did. It looked like the four-wheeler
was just there for all time.
Had been there and the trees grew around.
That's what you would assume from looking at the picture.
Yeah, but that's not what happened.
No, it just flipped a bunch of times.
It was the angle and the the velocity
of the fall.
Of the turning four-wheeler rolling down, and it just happened to roll, and the tire and wheel
wedged itself
in between these two trees.
Yes.
At the bottom of a
large ravine.
Mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. What you would call a mountain, yeah. I guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like, it was very scary for me. Like the fall, everything. I had a lot of adrenaline. And it all dumped out, so I was feeling terrible. I was kind of throwing up and covered in sweats, and I'm shaking. Uh-huh. My hands won't sit still. I had to walk like 3 miles back to the trail to get somebody, and the guys there were pretty cool. They're nice. They say they're going to come help me, but this guy has a giant side-by-side, not a four-wheeler, but one of those huge things.
Yeah, that's one of those I'm explaining to people who don't.
Oh, yeah.
ATV. It basically looks like a car almost. Yeah. It's like it seats multiple people.
Four people, yeah.
And it's this gigantic four-wheeler.
Mm-hmm. And he has one of those with a huge winch on the front of it, and he's thinking he's going to somehow pull it out, which I don't know. Is he going to pull the trees down?
You have to take the trees with it.
Yeah, where we were going to maybe take the tire off. We were in a real pickle.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, from nowhere, from the east, a cloud appears. A dust cloud appears and slowly starts making its way toward us. And we hear a noise, unlike any noise I'd heard all day. It was very much loud.
Yeehaw.
And at least 7 to 8 guys on dirt bikes pull up, and they're all covered in mud.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just completely head to toe covered in mud. Half of them aren't wearing helmets. Most of them are wearing jeans. Guys got sandals on. Like, these guys
probably didn't have teeth.
Yeah, no. These guys were, they were ragtag, might be the word. But they were on, one of them was on the most giant dirt bike I've ever seen. I mean, they were loud. And they pull up and they're like, oh man, got your four-wheeler stuck. And they just launch themselves off the ravine. I mean, they just jump in. They all turn their dirt bikes off and just jump down the ravine.
Uh-huh.
Pick up my four-wheeler, walk it out of the woods, set it down on the trail. And they're like, man, you got a few dents in, but you can hammer that out. Just bash that out, man. Ain't no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy looks at me, and I'm shaking and covered in sweat and about crying. And he's like, don't worry, man. I wreck mine worse than that every week, man. It's no big deal. Hey, this is the first time you wrecked it, ain't it? And I was like, yes, sir. And he's like, well, it's yours now, man. Like, now you own it, man. You done wrecked it. It's yours. And in a way, I was like, that is some wisdom right there, right? Like, it wasn't mine, but now that I wrecked the shit out of it, it's mine. No,
yeah,
I mean,
it's officially yours. Yeah. Those dents are yours.
Yeah. So he had some weird sort of magical hillbilly redneck wisdom.
Mm-hmm. And he saved your ass.
He did. And then
because one of the things that you learn from the ranger up there was that if you get your four-wheeler stuck in that trail, you pay
to get it.
To have them come get it out. And they the government will charge you.
Yeah, and they will give you a ticket for riding off trail.
And you get a ticket, and you can even be banned from coming back.
Yeah,
so it's in your best interest to get your vehicle out on your own.
On your own, yes.
Yeah.
It would have cost God knows what kind of money to get that thing out of there.
Yeah.
If I'd have let the government do it. But instead, random redneck hillbilly angels came.
Coincidentally, same kind of folks that don't want the government telling them what to do.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I guess we saw eye to eye on that.
Yeah, you guys, we did. You crossed paths on that one.
And they heroically rode off into the sunset, never to be seen again. And that was a time when blending in was good.
But sometimes blending in can be really awkward.
Yeah, sometimes it's not just, it's not necessarily good, it's just awkward.
Right, kind of like at your job.
Yeah, where I work. It's kind of a small private company. It's owned by a guy who's a very conservative
Christian guy.
He has, we'll just say, religion in his bones.
Uh-huh.
he's a big Southern man, and he's very religious. And in the mornings, you know, there's probably 50 people that work there. And in the mornings, sometimes he would, this is pre-COVID, obviously, but he would gather us for a prayer, a morning prayer. And he would attribute our business success to God. And
so he gathers everyone around.
Uh-huh. and says, like, and God is
makes
like, blessed
everyone
us.
Stand there while he says a prayer.
Bow our heads in prayer.
About how good business is.
Yeah, because God has blessed us somehow with good business. Now, this business doesn't have anything to do with religion in itself.
No, it has nothing to do.
He just sort of takes that angle.
It is not a religion-based company at all.
But it pays pretty well.
It's a good job.
I like it.
Good pay and benefits, especially for this area.
Right, which is
why I
would put up with
that. And he himself is a really nice guy.
He's a nice dude. I don't dislike him at all. Yeah. He just is a pretty heavily preaching.
He's just diehard Christian.
And as me, somebody, I've never said to him, like, hey, you know, I'm not really into the whole religious thing, but he just kind of assumes that I am, I guess, or assumes that everyone is.
I think he just assumes everyone is, because why wouldn't you be?
Right.
If you live here, you must be.
So I just sort of, you know, just, I have a secret that I do to blend in. What I do is I bow my head, and while we're praying, I pray to Barack Obama. And they're none the wiser.
Yeah, they don't know who you're praying to.
I'm praying to God.
Yeah, they don't know who you're praying to.
Yeah, so I just pray to Barack. And I find that about the same amount of stuff gets done as if I was praying to God or Barack. It doesn't really seem to.
Barack probably helps you out a little bit.
I think sometimes
he hears
me. He's
like, yo, man, I got your back.
Yeah, I think sometimes he hears me.
Don't worry, Jason.
He comes on TV and says awesome stuff from time to
time. He does. Yeah, I miss him.
Yeah, I miss him dearly.
Yeah.
That's why I pray to him. And it's weird because they all... I mean, I know there are other people there who aren't into it.
Right, but everybody plays along. Like, everybody just bows their head quietly and lets boss say the prayer.
Yeah, and I think that's a good model. I think churches could adopt this. See, if you pay people to listen to your bullshit, they'll sit there and listen. And they may pray to their own God, but they'll listen.
Oh, no.
But the thing churches do is they ask you for money, and that's the opposite. It's not going to work.
That's backwards.
See, he pays me pretty good, so I'll sit there.
Yeah.
So and so will other liberals.
Yeah, I'd be like, nod your head, yes, sounds good.
Yeah, let's work together. And
thanks, boss.
Yeah, it's not all our hard work, though.
But the whole
God.
Concept of an employer...
I know.
A, assuming, and then B, pushing
and
a religion of any kind.
Any religion whatsoever.
Onto their employees, to me, is just so weird.
Well, he wouldn't like it if it went the other way. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, if it was any other religion being pushed upon him, he probably would have
freak out.
A breakdown. Yeah.
Yeah.
But in this instance, it's, quote, just normal.
Just normal. And I don't know if other people that live anywhere else in the country might have to put up with things like that. Like, I assume somewhere else people would make a stink about it. I don't want to fight.
I can't fathom that they would do something like that in bigger cities. Like, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
New York.
I can't imagine either.
No.
But I don't want to create waves. And like I said, the job pays pretty good.
No, it's in your best interest not to create waves and just roll with it. And, you know, it's one of those things that you just have to decide whether or not you're going to make a stink about it. And that's one that you just choose not to because you like your job, first of all.
And I can pray to Barack Obama.
You can pray to Barack Obama. You like your job. Uh-huh. You like your coworkers. You like your boss, ultimately.
Yeah.
It's just this one little thing that's kind of weird and probably
super
doesn't
annoying.
Happen in other places.
Yeah.
But it does happen here.
And that's when blending in can be awkward.
Yeah.
And I have another story actually about that same workplace. There were these three older women that worked there. We'll say 60s, 70s year old woman. There were three or four of them, and they were gathered up one day.
Southern Christian conservative ladies.
Very, very conservative. I've seen one of them with a little anti-abortion pendant on that, you know, like had a dead baby and then like a circle with a line through
it. No dead babies.
Yeah, don't
you ain't killing our babies, you murderer.
Yeah. So that's where they're coming from, you know. I walk in one day. This was months ago or maybe even a year when the Harvey Weinstein scandal was first.
Oh, yeah.
When it was first breaking. And I didn't hear their whole conversation. I walk in and all I hear was, well, I just think them women just like attention, and they got too much money as it is, and they're just trying to get more of it. That's all it is.
Oh, no.
And it was a record scratch. Record scratch. And I'm walking by, and I just look at them, and what do I say? I'm a 35-year-old man.
You're the man walking into a situation of these group of women totally talking just down about these women who were victims of this
monster, absolute monster, Harvey Weinstein. And I gotta say, this too was when there was like 10 women deep into the Harvey Weinstein scandal.
Yes,
this wasn't when it was just Rose McGowan.
When we knew for sure
yeah,
that this
was,
guy,
this
Harvey
was
Weinstein, had been doing really bad things for a really long time.
And it was the only thing in the news. And so I imagine that's why they were talking about it, because it was even on Fox News.
It was
apparently.
Even on, Shit. Fox News.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well.
So, I mean, that's why they, I assume, were talking about it. And I guess their defense was the same sort of, they're tired of men getting trampled on by women.
Yeah.
Like poor, Donald Trump did.
Those poor men.
With his poor locker room talk.
Yeah.
I guess they saw the thing similarly. I don't know. All I know is it was one of those moments where trying to blend in was awkward. And I had to just lower my head and just sort of walk
by. Because you're a supporter
complain.
Of the Me Too movement.
Yes.
And women being able to come out and say what happened to them and to be believed without being doubted.
And without having people victim blame you.
Yes. And saying like, well, what was she wearing? Why was she in that part of town at that time of night?
I really don't want to hear any of that.
But it's just so funny to have that happen and you're the gender. Difference.
There's 67 year old women and I'm a 35 year old man just walking in on this conversation like, okay, well.
You're like, okay, well, I'm going to go to my workstation now. Yeah, that was thanks.
And so that's where you have to just, I think you have to just blend because we are surrounded by people who are going to be like that, who are going to be conservative. And you could clash with them, but that's kind of what they do. They just directly clash with people.
They do, except those are the same ladies that I saw, not the exact people, but the same kind of ladies I saw having the time of their lives at the Chippendale show that I went to.
I can imagine.
60-year-old Southern white women absolutely losing their minds at these men dancing on stage.
Woo-hoo! Yeah.
Tearing off their bras, throwing them up on stage.
67-year-old Southern women.
Groping the men. Uh-huh. Not the other way around.
Yeah.
Women groping men.
Yes.
And these are the same. These are Southern.
Uh-huh.
I would say most of them probably go to church on Sundays.
Yes.
You know, conservative.
Yeah. It's an
losing their minds.
And us, as our liberal snowflake selves, we have to, like, survive in this environment.
Yeah. It's a navigation.
But it's
worth really
it because
is.
It's so beautiful.
It is, and the people, as much as we make fun of them,
well, they're entertaining as always.
They are incredibly entertaining.
Yeah.
They're great, though.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
A lot of them.
Most, I would say most, are decent humans.
One we heard the other day out in front of Walmart.
So we were driving by Walmart.
And we were picking up our groceries.
We were picking up because of the pandemic. There was a woman standing out front talking to another woman.
Yeah, and in the very front of Walmart, and she didn't have her mask on. She had a mask, but it was in her hand.
She was holding her mask in front of her
just
face.
Just sort of holding it in front of
her
face.
Talking to this woman, and we overhear their conversation. Yeah, she was blending in. Like, see, I take the pandemic seriously. I hold my mask.
Yeah.
Like, ma'am, that's not how it works.
And we drive by, the window's cracked, and I hear, yeah, we both tested positive, and they want us quarantined for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the quote I hear come from
we
this lady's mouth as we drive
tested positive,
by.
And they want us quarantined for 2 weeks. And she's standing in front of the entrance to Walmart talking to another person.
And the other person took a gigantic step backwards.
Oh,
right,
yeah. That lady, you like ran backwards.
Yeah. And then we drove off, and I rolled up the window, and I was like, I hope it didn't get in our car with
me. Yeah. You were like, did you hear that? I'm like,
The lady with the sweatpants just saying...
Yeah.
She was,
That happened.
That's a precious moment you might get in the South.
I wouldn't call that precious.
Precious,
as
yeah.
much as I would call that terrifying.
Terrifying. Okay, yeah, it's not a book by Sapphire.
Yeah, they said they want us to go in quarantine. Like, well, going to Walmart, ma'am, is
and
not
holding your mask in
quarantine
front of your face.
And holding your mask. You are doing this all. This is why we are doomed.
Yeah.
This is why we will never get out of the pandemic.
But it is a moment that I think in 10 years will at least be hilarious.
One day.
One now day it's kind of frightening.
One day I hope maybe we'll be able to look back at that and chuckle.
I think so. But I think that's part of the joy of living in the South.
It's incredibly special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. So I guess the moral of all these stories we've been telling each other today is that, you know, you got to pick your battles.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to be a liberal... and you're going to live in the South, there's going to be a lot of conflict, and you're going to be surrounded by people who don't necessarily agree politically with you.
Right.
But you can't fight every fight.
No, you have to definitely decide what's worth raising a fuss about.
Yeah.
And what you can learn to live with. And I say, as the late, great Kenny Rogers said, you got to know when to hold them.
Know when to fold them.
Know when to walk away.
And know when to run. All right, and that does it for our second episode of the Carolina Snowflakes podcast. If you want to check us out online, you can find our website at
carolinasnowflakes.com.
Or we're also on Facebook at
facebook.com/carolinasnowflakes.
And you can send us an email,
carolinasnowflakes@gmail.com.
Gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Bye.